Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. If you have your Bible there today, turn it to Matthew 12, and we're going to start in verse 43. And we're going to be talking about the nature of addictions and the nature of being oppressed by the devil and his demons, and how does that all work, and how can we be set free by it. And so in verse 43, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and he finds none. And then he says, I will return to my house from which I came, and when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. And then he goes and takes with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it be with this wicked generation. And so Jesus paints a picture here of demonic entry, and he shows how it starts with just one unclean spirit. And when he says, when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes into the dry places seeking rest, and he finds none. Well, the unclean spirit, beloved, does not just leave your holy temple. He does not just leave your abode on his own. He does not voluntarily leave and go look for those dry places and go look for a place of rest. He is cast out by the power of God. He is cast out by the finger of God. In Matthew 12:26, in that very same chapter, Jesus was accused by the Pharisees of casting out demons by the power of the devil, by the ruler of the devil, Beelzebub. And Jesus responded to the Pharisees, and he said to them in Matthew 12:26, if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And so the point Jesus was making is that Satan doesn't cast himself out. Satan doesn't come against himself. Satan's plan for you is to take over your life, take over your holy temple, oppress you and harass you and torment you to the point where you give up, where you say, devil, I'm going to serve you because I don't want to go through this torment and come against you. And so Jesus was saying that the devil doesn't cast himself out. When the devil gets entrenched in a place, in a holy temple, when the devil gets entrenched in somebody's life, he's not going to voluntarily quit. He's not going to just turn and run without you coming against him by the finger of God. And so if you are being tormented, if you are being harassed, if you are being subjected to all kinds of addictions, if you're trapped in pornography or drug addiction or alcohol addiction or homosexuality or some kind of perversion of lifestyle, you have to understand, if you want out of that situation, if you want out of that lifestyle, you're going to have to come against the demons that are oppressing you. You're going to have to come against them by and with the power of God. There's no other way. If you could do it in your own flesh and in your own will and by your own strength, you would already have done it. And so as you attempt to set yourself free, the only way that you're going to be free from the oppression of the devil is you have to bring God into your holy temple. You have to bring the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit, into your temple. And as you do that, as you abide with the Holy Spirit and you cooperate and you agree with the Holy Spirit, then the devil is going to be forced to leave. Amos 3:3 tells us this, can two walk together lest they be in agreement? And so as two friends walk together, as two cohorts walk together, so too, if you want to walk together with the Lord, you have to come in agreement with him. And if you are not in agreement with him, well, the devil is going to run roughshod over your life. If you're not in agreement with what God wants to do in your life, if you're not in agreement with reading God's word and praying and spending time in a fellowship, those things that God desires for you, if you're not in agreement with that, why, get ready, because you're going to be harassed, and the devil is going to take over and run roughshod over your life, and he will have his way with you, and he will trap you and entice you and set all kinds of snares and nets and pitfalls for you. And beloved, if you don't know God, if you don't know God's word, the only way you're going to get out of that dilemma, that situation that you're in, the only way you're going to get out is you're going to have to turn to God. You're going to have to cry out to him. You're going to have to seek his face, get down on your face and seek God's face and cry out to him and start to allow God to come into your life and cast those demons out by the power of God. Back to Matthew 12:28, Jesus said, "If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." Verse 29, "Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house?" And so Jesus says you can't just go into somebody's house and start stealing their goods without binding the strong man. You have to deal with the strong man. And in that reference, he was talking to the devil. He was talking about the devil. The devil is the one that controls the entry of demons into a person's life. The devil is the one that controls what goes on in a person's life. And if you don't have the Lord God, again, I repeat, if you don't have the Lord God in your life and you're not studying God's word and you're not spending time in prayer with God, you're just opening up the door for the devil. You've got an open door and the sign on the door says welcome, and the devil will come in and he will take advantage of that open door. He'll take advantage of that hospitality that you have offered him. And it is a legal contract that you make with the devil. You come into agreement with him and with his plan, and then you give him legal right to be in your holy temple. You give him legal right to come in and take authority over your holy temple and take authority over your life. And the first thing you know, then the devil is running your life and you have very little, if any, control. He is running your life and he will take you down that slippery slope to all kinds of addictions, all kinds of perversion, all kinds of sin and blasphemy. And beloved, I pray that that is not you today, but I know there are some people out there listening to me today. That is the very situation that you are in. You are at the mercy of the devil. He is whipping you about, and he is running roughshod over your life. And the only way, again, to repeat, the only way, if you could do it in your flesh and in your willpower, you already would have done it. But the only way you're going to be set free is through the power of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God in your life. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Back to Matthew 12, verse 30, "He who is not with me," Jesus said, "is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven men." Well, what is he saying here? To sin against God, you will receive forgiveness for that when you repent of your sin. We're all going to be sinners until the last day we're here on this earth. We are forgiven sinners if we are in the kingdom of God. If we have confessed Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then all you have to do when you stumble, when you fall, when you sin against God, and you know when you have sinned because you don't have that peace, you don't have that joy, and you know your conscience and the Holy Spirit will convict you of that sin. But when you do as a believer, when you sin as a believer, all you have to do is keep short accounts with God and ask the Lord to forgive you, and he will forgive you. It's as simple as that. You ask the Lord to forgive you, and he will forgive you. But when you sin and you lie or blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, that's what blasphemy means. It means to lie against the Holy Spirit. When you lie against the Holy Spirit, you in essence say, "I do not accept the Holy Spirit's convicting me of sin. I do not accept that for my life, that the Holy Spirit convicts me of sin." In other words, you go to a higher level of denial. And as you deny the Holy Spirit's power to convict you of sin as you continually deny that. Your heart gets black, your heart gets hardened, your heart gets filled with bitterness and pollution and corruption. And as you come to that place where you no longer accept the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, then you start to attribute to the devil the things of God. Let me speak that again and listen very carefully. When you get a hardened heart to the place where you no longer accept the convicting power of the Holy Spirit in your life, then you start to attribute to the devil the things of the kingdom of God. And you start to say, just as the Pharisees said to Jesus, you're casting out demons by Beelzebub, the power of the king of the demons. And Jesus said, no, it doesn't work that way. The devil does not come against himself. And Jesus said, I cast out demons by the power of God. And when you see me cast out demons, when you see demons flee in my presence, then you'll know that the kingdom of God has been among you and has come against the devil. And so in your own life, in your very own life, those of you out there listening to me today, ask yourself this: in what areas of your life are you in agreement with the devil? In what areas of your life are you gathering with the devil and scattering the kingdom of God? And when you make an agreement with the devil in one area of your life, it may be a small area, maybe you believe it's okay for people to have abortions. Maybe you believe it's okay for people to, and when they get in a situation where it's inconvenient for them to have a baby, or it's maybe embarrassing for them, for their reputation or their career, maybe you think it's okay for people to have an abortion. You have just made an agreement with the devil in that situation. Or maybe you think it's okay because you have a cousin or a nephew or a brother or sister who is homosexual and they have been pressing for homosexual marriage, and you believe they are very good people, you love them as a person, and you make an agreement with the devil that homosexual marriage is a good thing because, after all, they just love each other. When you make an agreement with the devil and with his plan and with his kingdom agenda, then you have just given him legal right and legal authority to come in and set up shop in your holy temple. And Jesus said, when I cast out demons, when I cast them out, then the kingdom of God has come against you. And the kingdom of God has bound the strong man. He has bound him up, and he has cast him out, and he has evicted him. You might say, given him a letter of eviction from the holy temple. Well, back to Matthew 12:43, it says then that when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and he finds none. In other words, the demons that were inhabiting this person or a person, the demons go out. When they have been cast out, they go out and they seek rest. They try to find a place. They don't want to just hang out on the street corner. They don't want to just hang out by the fire plug or the stop sign. What they want to do is they want to be in a human being, and they want to inhabit a human being to take over that person's soul and eventually that person's spirit. That is their mission. That is their charge. That is why they come and torment. That is why their familiar spirits that track you and track your family is because they have a job to do, and they're not just going to hang out on a street corner and watch the buses go by. And so he finds no rest out there on a street corner, and then he says, I will return to my house, or in other words, I will return to that person from which I came. So he goes back. He looks to see what's going on in that person's life, and when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. And so this is a description of a person. Maybe he's coming out of drug treatment center or an alcohol treatment center, and things look pretty good from the natural. He looks like he's cleaned up. He's got a smile on his face. His hair's combed. Hasn't had a drink for 30 days or hasn't had any drugs for 30 days. He looks like he's cleaned up. He looks like he's set to go. And so the ceremony at the end of the 30 days or the end of the 2 months takes place, and he's sent off back into the community. But there's something going on inside of him that people don't see, and that he is still empty inside. The Holy Spirit of God, he has not made an agreement, or if he does not make an agreement with the Holy Spirit of God to come in and reside in him and take up residence in his holy temple, if he does not make an agreement with the Spirit of God to do that, to come up and take residence, then he is still empty inside. And the devil sees that, the devil knows that. When the demons come back to check things out, they look things over. It's like going into a hotel room to see if everything is clean and the beds are made and the bathroom is clean and paper hanging on the wall. And so we know that the devil comes in, he inspects, and if there is an agreement in any way with the devil, even a small crack, a small agreement, then the devil is welcomed back in. And it says then that he goes and he gets seven more. Verse 45, then he goes and he takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of the man is worse than the first. So shall it be with this wicked generation. And so that is the nature of addictions. And when that demon comes back, he finds the house empty. Yes, it looks clean, it looks swept and put in order, but there is an emptiness there because the Holy Spirit of God has not been invited in to take up residence and guard the holy temple. That demon goes and he brings seven more wicked than himself. He brings seven more back to that person's holy temple, and the last state of the man is worse than the first. And so that is the nature of addictions. That is why when people get out of treatment center or they swear against their addiction and they grit their teeth and by their will they stay free of some kind of addiction for a month or a year or even 3 years or whatever, but eventually they break down and go into a situation where they're tempted, they give into the temptation, and eventually then those seven more demons, more wicked than the first, come in and take up residence. And when a person goes back into addiction that way, it's like he never left it. It's like it just accelerates into a higher level of addiction, and it accelerates to a place where he felt like he never left it. And so Jesus said, the last state of the man will be much worse than the first. Well, when Jesus sent the disciples out in Matthew 10:8, he told them, verse 6, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then verse 8, he said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And so Jesus gave the disciples their charge. He gave them their marching orders. And he said to them, there's four things that you need to do. He said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. And so we have that very same charge today. Beloved, we have that very same charge to do that on behalf of the kingdom of God and tell people that the kingdom is at hand. And I believe there's people out there listening to me today that, first of all, you need to start with yourself, and you need to cast demons out of yourself. You start speaking against those demons in your life. You start speaking against drug addiction or alcohol addiction or pornography or sexual perversion, fornication. You start speaking against that and claiming the kingdom is at hand in your life, in your holy temple, and you make agreement with the Lord for what he wants to do in your life. And freely you have received, freely give. In other words, Jesus is saying to you, to the disciples of Jesus today, what you have, the power that you have, you didn't earn it, you didn't gain it by good works. The power that you have came to you by the confession of faith that you have in Jesus Christ, and it was freely given to you. It was freely given to you. There's no strings attached. There's no payment. There's no interest payment. Everything that you have in the kingdom of God is freely given to you, and you can access it, you can have it, you can take it for yourself today. It will be yours if you come into agreement with the kingdom of God. And Jesus went on to say then, freely you have received, freely give. And as you contemplate and meditate on your place today with the kingdom of God, understand this, as you give to others, then that kingdom is replenished in you, as you give to others. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. And so as he came to serve, so you too, listening to me today, you need to find a way to serve. You need to find a way to get out there and serve people and share that which you have freely received. And you need to share that the kingdom of God is at hand. And if people need to have demons cast out of them, you pray over them, you lay hands on them, and you pray over them. If they have sickness, you pray for their sickness, you cast out that spirit of infirmity, or pray for the angels of the Lord to touch their body, their physical body, their soul, their mind, whatever it is that needs healing, and set them free from whatever infirmity and sickness they have, or maybe they have leprosy, or maybe they are dead, and the Lord puts it on your heart to pray for somebody that is dead, either spiritually or physically. And as you do that, then they will see that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. 2 Corinthians 10:4, I'm going to close here today. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, or that is, they're not fleshly, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And our weapons of warfare, beloved, are, I've just listed a few of them, write these down. Our weapons of warfare are prayer, study of God's word, fellowship with the saints, praise and worship, and fasting. That's just a list of five of the weapons that we have for tearing down strongholds in the kingdom. And our weapons are mighty. And if you'll start to pick up those weapons and use them in your life, the Lord will set you free from any bondage and any addiction and any agreement that you have made with the devil. The Lord will set you free, and he will place you in a place of obedience to Jesus Christ. As you listen to me today, again, I'm in Africa preaching in Kenya and in the Democratic Republic of Congo. We've been doing a series of meetings of crusades, outdoor revivals, pastor conferences and trainings over there. I ask you, keep me lifted up in your prayers. If you have not made a donation to boost this ministry, help pay for the Africa mission, help pay for these radio broadcasts. It costs money to share the gospel. It costs money to get the message out, and that's just the way it is, beloved. It just doesn't go into my pocket. It goes into the kingdom of God. And so as you think about these messages and think about the harvest coming in Africa, ask the Lord how you can come alongside this ministry and boost this ministry for the work that is at hand. As Jesus Christ said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.